Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Sleep is a lot of your life, and so it's not hard to get people to talk about it.
Hi, this is Peter from Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. I would like an extra hour or two a day for sleep. I can get enough sleep, but not quite to really help me. And that would be great.
Right, Peter, but how to do that? A team here at our producing partner, WNYC, decided that creating a social network around sleep patterns using technology and team effort might help people learn about their own sleep patterns and then possibly even change them. I got involved in this. Manush Zamarodi of New Tech City also got involved. We actually were team leaders looking at a couple of specific ways to improve life by focusing on sleep. My team created a seven-day-a-week routine. Go to sleep at the same time, wake up at the same time. Manush's team tried to lay off any screen technology before bedtime. Digital abstinence.
We were the digital detoxers, and we had no screens 1 hour before bedtime and no cell phones in the bedroom. One woman was describing to me, who was a member of Digital Detox, saying that every night she just gets into bed with her iPad, her laptop, and her phone. And that had become normal, and she wasn't even paying any attention to it. And taking this moment to sort of stop and log things and quantify and be present was quite shocking. Why wasn't she sleeping well? Well, because she was bathing herself in blue light before she went to sleep.
What we discovered on our team was so interesting that people, as they set a routine, they fell asleep more quickly and woke up more quickly. Now, it sometimes meant we were getting less sleep, but we all reported on our team that the quality of the awake time was dramatically improved. And, you know, my son, you know, loved the fact that he had more math homework done with his dad's help.
Oh, which is sweet.
Yeah,
and so here's my question to you. Do you think that this was less about the amount of sleep and more about the quality? Because I won because our team got 1.1% more sleep. It was unscientific, and that's not, you know, that's not a,
huge amount. Well, I think the main thing is not so much about sleep. I mean, the psychologists will determine all of that. I think the main thing was using technology and using social networks together, you know, bonding together and doing it all, you know, virtually really helps you to answer questions about, you know, I want to do this better. I want to change this behavior. I want to do this thing differently. Sleep happened to be the first thing we tried, but I thought it was really, really interesting. And I loved all the things you discovered about people's relationship with their digital devices.
I think we had a lot of fun on New Tech City. We sort of looked back through the ages at how technology has disrupted sleep. And it all really started with light. When we started having artificial light, we changed how we slept. We went, and some people knew this, but a lot of people didn't, that we used to sleep in segmented sleep.
And it's interesting that, you know, you talked about artificial light. The technology that is most disruptive is the passive technology. When you're active, it's much less of an issue.
Right. And so I spoke to another scientist who's actually at the National Institute of Mental Health. And what he did a study over several months where he put people in 14 hours of darkness a day. That's a long time. And what ended up happening was they made up for their sleep loss. They ended up sleeping 12, 13, 14 hours at a stretch. And then they went back to this segmented sleep. And he describes this feeling that they had when they would wake up between the two segmented sleeps of sort of an altered state, sort of tapping their dreams, finding creativity, a place that he says we don't go to anymore, which makes me think, you know, sleep was a different thing before we had artificial light. And then I have to introduce you, John, to someone else we met in our journeys. David George, he's a software developer, and he sort of describes what he does every night and how it has affected his sleep.
Put the kids to bed at 8, 8:30. They pop up once or twice. They're definitely down by 9 o'clock, if not a little bit earlier. And then talk to my wife a bit. Maybe we'd watch a show. Then she'd go to bed. And then 10:30 or something, 10 o'clock, I'm ready to go. And sometimes, and this is embarrassing to talk about, sometimes I get a tub of Nutella, some crackers, maybe a bottle of port. Sometimes one of the three, sometimes all three, get the video game fired up, and now it's time to party.
Deck is a reward.
I've played Call of Duty with that guy.
Yeah. Are you staying up as late as he
No, I'm not. Although I think it's really interesting that, you know, people think of technology as like an answer to the question of what do I do now?
Yeah.
As opposed to if I know what I'm going to do and technology helps you, then it's more like a tool.
Yes. And I find myself going back and forth. There were people on our team who said the reason why they went to sleep earlier was because they had nothing to do. But for me, what I discovered was my phone has replaced everything. It's replaced a pad of paper. It has replaced my grocery list. It has replaced my alarm clock. And when it wasn't there at my bedside table, you know, where is it? Where is it?
I don't have that problem.
No?
I don't. I discovered, actually, my kids taught me this years ago. I had a cell phone. It was given to me when I worked at NBC. And one day we were out at the Prospect Park and they were holding the phone and they dumped it in the sewer. And I was so upset. I was freaked out. And then I discovered, wow, this is great. It was so great not to have the phone. And I never forgot that.
Yeah.
The most important button on the phone is the off switch.
So not all of us have this sort of freedom that you can find from your phone as easily. I want to go back to that guy, that nutty Nutella guy, David George.
Right.
He actually turns out he's a software developer. And so he tried all the things you're talking about. He tried to like go cold turkey. He tried to monitor himself. He tried all of these things and they would work for like 2 weeks and then he'd fall off the wagon. So being a software developer, he decided that he needed to treat his tech addiction like he treats work. He needed to solve the problem with code. And so he created a hack, which actually we are happy to share with everyone on our website. But here's what it does.
Once we hit curfew time, my computer browsers get killed and my video games get killed. If I try to start them up again, they get killed. There's a program running on my computer that once a minute just kills whatever browsers or video games are running on my machine from curfew time until 6 the next morning.
So he cannot access any of his devices during this 7 to 7.5 hour period. And if he does well that night of sleeping, then the computer grants him a little reprieve the next day as a reward.
Wow.
So wait, question for you.
Yeah.
You going to keep doing this?
I like my routine. I mean, I really think it's great. You know, 10 p.m., 4 in the morning because I have to get up for the show.
It's not a lot of sleep, John.
But I never needed a lot of sleep. Just having that routine really enforces a kind of productivity that I think is terrific. So,
well, for me, I'm going to try to do no screen time for an hour before bed 3 times a week. That's going to be my goal.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Come back again.
I will be back.
Manush Zomorodi is the managing editor and host of New Tech City. You can hear more about David Jurg's recovery from tech addiction on WNYC.org or read up on the results from the WNYC's Clock Your Sleep Challenge at project.wnyc.org/sleep.